sit little high. It's very uncomfortable, but to be high from above from the bodies. But I'll try this 1 hour. Pretend that I'm someone that I can speak something about Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much for allowing me, giving me this opportunity to share my experiences with you and read from Srimad Bhagavatam. Devotees, they have asked me to share with some of my experiences in former Soviet Union during Gorbachev time, Perestroika time, and today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 6, chapter 11, text 22. Pumsam kilaikantam diyam svakanam ya sampado divi bhutau rasayam narati yad dveshayam svakanam. Ya sampado divi bhutau rasayam narati yad dvesha udvegadir mada kalir vyasanam samprayasam. Anybody? Okay. Pumsam unto person. Kila, certainly. Ekanta diyam, who are advanced in spiritual consciousness. Svakanam, who are recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his own. Yah, which? Sampada, opulences. Divi, in the super planetary systems. Bhumau, in the middle planetary system. Rasayam, in the lower planet ever. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Persons who fully surrender at lotus feet of Supreme Personality of Godhead and always think of His lotus feet are accepted and recognized by the Lord as His own personal assistants or servants. The Lord never bestows upon such servants the brilliant opulences of the upper, lower, and middle planetary systems of this material world. When one possesses material opulence in any of these three divisions of the universe, his possessions naturally increase his enmity, anxiety, mental agitation, pride, and belligerence. Thus one goes through much endeavor to increase and maintain his possessions, and he suffers great unhappiness when he loses them. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sorry, my English is not very good. I might little bit read wrong. In Bhagavad Gita 4:11, the Lord says, Ye yatha mam prapadyante tamstathaiva bhajayo aham mama vartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvasa. The translation, as devotees surrender into me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in the in all respects, O son of Bharata. Both Indra and Vritrasura were certainly devotees of Lord. Although Indra took in instructions from Vishnu to kill Vritrasura, the Lord was actually more favorable to Vritrasura because after being killed by Indra's thunderbolt, Vritrasura would go back to Gadet, whereas the victorious Indra would root in this material world. Because both of them were devotees, the Lord awarded them the respective benedictions they wanted. Vritrasura never wanted material possessions, for he knew very well the nature of such possessions. To accumulate material possessions, one must labor very hard, and when he gets them, he creates many enemies because his material world, because this material world is always full of rivalry. If one becomes rich, his friends or relatives are envious. For Akanta Bhaktas, unalloyed devotees, Krishna therefore never provides material possessions. A devotee sometimes needs some material possessions for preaching, but the possessions of the preacher are not like those of Karmi. Karmi's possessions are achieved as a result of the karma, but those of a devotee are arranged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead just to facilitate his devotional activities. Because a devotee never uses material possessions for any purpose other than service to Lord, service of the Lord, the possessions of the devotee are not to be compared to those of a karmi. Wow, what a text. My goodness. Namaham Vishnu. Yes, I think everything is told by Srila Prabhupada. There is very less left for me to tell, explain what he is trying to say, that it's very, very obvious and clear, actually, that devotees, any time they get any money, any possessions, they will immediately use it for Krishna's service, while karmis, they will think how to keep it and how to protect it. So from the left and right, nobody will attack, nobody will have a newspaper in a hand in the middle of the night while you are working. And you know what is in a newspaper? There is an iron bar, you know? So they're folding it into a newspaper, so it will look like a newspaper, but inside is heavy iron, actually. And once you hit, everything is done. So that's why devotees are so free, so happy. So when you look at the devotees, even if you don't know they are devotees, you meet them in a railway station somewhere with the karmi dresses. When you look at the devotee's face, you know 100% this must be devotee. No way. So you can distinguish like devotees from karmis even by the so detached face, you know, so beautiful faces like many of you sitting here. It is really a very tricky point when you get some money or position. Just like this position, for 1 hour I have to sit here. You already feel like, you know, something different than while you are sitting down there. Because, and also it has also a very negative sides of it, because when somebody sits down there and itches the head and body or does whatever he wants to do, hardly two or three people next to him will notice that, isn't it? The person who is sitting right there on the back, he will never notice how the person in front of me was itching his head or doing some movements which he was not supposed to do, for example. But when you come one step above, then anything I do from here, people from there will notice and they will criticize me. So that is the danger of being in a position. And this is, I'm talking about just a temporary position for 1 hour, but when you become a guru or sannyasi or become temple president or whatever, it's like a triangle, no? You slowly go up. More you go up, more people will see you and they will notice each and every small, tiny spot on your white dhoti or kurta. So we have to be very careful also with the position while we are sitting here. We have to be extremely careful with what I say and what we do. Anyhow, it's a wonderful, it was a wonderful, shocking text, actually, because we are all somehow or other we are dealing with material possessions, money, gold, silver, and other precious stones. And more we give away, more we use it for Krishna's service, then more we get it, actually. More blessings we get and more opportunities we get to serve Krishna more and more. That's why in India it's such a nice tradition. Any rich person, he would love to come to the temple and donate generously. Why? You think they have some, you know, special kind of a nature or that thing they have? No, they just realize one simple principle that when you give, you free yourself. When you take, you get something heavy on you. But when you give, it's such a wonderful. One of our six wonderful qualities of the devotees to in association is one is to give prasadam and take prasadam. One is opening your heart in front of the devotees and listen to the other devotee when he speaks. And the third one is to giving gifts and taking gifts. It's such a powerful thing. Huh? It's a Hari Bol. I never feel anything more powerful than this. When you're giving gifts to devotees, you feel in ecstasy. It's the best thing ever you can do. And I'm talking about giving something that you really attached. Because giving $10 when you have $1,000, that's nothing. But when you have only $8 and you're giving $7.50 to someone, that is really counted. That is what really means a gift. Or in our situation when we were going through the first steps of preaching, so-called preaching, because preacher means that you know a lot, actually. So when people, they ask you questions, then at least you will be ready to answer 50% of them. But in our case, we were just joined to the movement. I'm talking about 1980s early. And doesn't matter you know how to swim or not. You are in the ocean already, so you have to swim. You don't want to drown for sure. So you try to do anything and everything you can to save your life. And we were in such conditions. We just joined and there was very less information, absolutely no books, or hardly one or two books was available in former Soviet Union. And few Prabhupada's old tapes, you know, these big ones. I don't know if nowadays anybody has those. Nobody is probably playing. Everybody is playing MP3 format files. They have a small tiny chip which they can put in their pocket and put something in their ear all day long, listen Srila Prabhupada. While in our case, when we wanted to listen to the Prabhupada, we were supposed to have a big machine like this with the big tapes, and we were supposed to watch that accidentally tape will not go wrong and start smashing the whole thing. So we were so careful. It was like a precious stone for us to keep all this in our so-called temple, in an apartment where I have joined, actually. So It was quite an experience, actually, being a devotee, one of the first devotees when you are actually not devotee. You just know very little about Krishna consciousness. You heard a little bit from here and there. And now you have to put all these things together, summarize the whole thing. And when newcomer comes, you have to make him a seat and you have to give knowledge. When you don't have knowledge, it's very hard to give knowledge. But trust me, when you are really into it, really you want to do something for someone, not for you, but for someone. You are not doing it for your prestige. You are not doing it for your honor. You are doing it for Krishna's service. You are trying to help some devotee or newcomer, whatever, whoever it is, and you are trying to say something. Sometimes amazing things happen. It's just Krishna starts talking from your heart and you start telling things, and you while you are speaking those words, you are thinking, where actually I get this idea from? I never read about this. I never heard from any devotee telling me. So where I am talking about, really? And this is not one time, not twice. For many, many times, actually, when you are in a critical condition, then Krishna comes really forward to protect you, help you, guide you, make you feel like you are someone now. You can say something, and this something can change someone's life, actually. After, the first thing was we got some books, papers printed, flyers, and started to distribute in all over the Soviet Union. With big, big boxes, we used to send it to different cities and go and collect it from that city and start distributing, putting nail boxes in each and every one. Maha Mantra, it was Maha Mantra, explanation of the Maha Mantra. This was all we had, actually, at the beginning. And then by some great devotees, like Sannyas Das, Kamala Mala, and Atmananda, they started printing some books. First books, actually, in Armenian and Russian languages. And then life started to go hot. We started manufacturing, actually, our own products. We had our own company. We made the beautiful books, small Bhagavad Gitas. And it was very, very hard work, actually. We used to do everything manually, cutting, binding, gluing, putting the threads, and sometimes we were not successful because none of us worked in a press before, so we were supposed to put our knowledge together, and some devotees, very creative devotees, quickly made some tools which we can, you know, use it for book production in one little apartment. So all our hands was damaged. Some devotee's hands was bleeding because we used to use this machine, you know, for cutting all the time, sitting from morning to evening. All you do is just this movement. You put five books together and start cutting it. And each time you cut, you bring little more, and then you cut more and more and more until the book is ready. And guess what? When we have the book ready, and not only book ready, but hundreds of books ready already, that they have to go out already, and police knocks the door and takes all the books away from you. Oh my God. I never experienced any loss in my life like so painful like these books when police would take the books. Fortunately, we had one wonderful devotee. His name was Sachisuta Das. He was very creative. We had a piano there. He used to hide some books in a piano. So by God's grace, 50, 60 books was saved by His mercy, you know. Otherwise, we were supposed to work another 10, 15 days for producing so many books again. And when you're losing this type of possessions, these are really possessions. When we were talking, Srila Prabhupada was talking about possessions here. He was meaning the material possessions. When they lose, they really get frustrated. Armies, if they go out and they see some ignorant person took a stone and wrote on his trunk love is sweet poison, then he will suffer so much because his car was damaged, scratched by stone. But this is different. He will lament, definitely. We were lamenting also, but we were lamenting for Srila Prabhupada's books because so much work, so much endeavor was just gone and vain. But that's what we were thinking. And guess what? Some of these books, which were supposed to, which they took to the police station, naturally these people, they want to know what is what is written in these books that these fanatic people, they making all day long these books. So they took some books to their house to read. And all of a sudden, their sons and daughters, they see the book and they read the book. And we have a very amazing case, actually. The son of the KGB became a devotee and now he's temple president somewhere in Rostov in Russia. So this man, he didn't know whom to curse, us or himself, because he was the one who took the book to home. And Prabhupada says, books are everything. Books will do the job. We don't have to do much, even if we don't know how to speak. I remember when I came here first in 1989 to India, we went out and distributed books in this city, Mumbai, during the Rath Yatra. I didn't know single word of English, Hindi, Bengali, Chinese, or anything. I speak only Russian and Armenian. But I distributed at least 50 Bhagavad Gitas that day. I remember. And everybody would take because they see the enthusiasm and the ecstasy and the love and the way how I was trying to explain in my broken half Russian, half Armenian, and half Hindi or whatever. I remember I learned one word, the Prabhu, and what was this? Dhanyavad, Dhanyavad, we were saying. And they were in ecstasy. They would put some extra money in my hands. Some white elephant here appeared, let him take. I remember I went to the jewelry store to give the book. And instead of one, they took two. I said, my God, take two books at the same time. This is a great job in Mumbai when you don't know any language, what they speak. So anyhow, lamentation, different kind of lamentations, material and the spiritual also. But no matter what, Krishna is the ultimate controller and he knows why those books were supposed to be there instead of here. So maybe we were supposed to sacrifice 100 books to go to the police station in order to get this one book to this KGB's house so his son will become a temple president and now spread the Krishna consciousness in Soviet Union, on all territory of Russia. So getting and losing, it's a very, very amazing point, actually. We get and lose every day something. We gain some health and we lose some health. We get some money, we lose some money, or we spend some money. But when we really appreciate all these things, I'll tell you, when you don't have it. You know, when I started to appreciate sunlight, is most important sunlight, when they first time arrested me and they put me for 3 days underground in a dark room where hardly you can see one small bulb about 6 to 8 meter high ceiling. A tiny bulb there and you are sitting there in a wet, dark place. And then you realize, my God, how wonderful was outside just a few hours ago. Then you start appreciating this light when you are in darkness. You know when I appreciate it? When I have two hands? When they first time put handcuffs in my hands and took all my books and took me to the police station. Believe me, when you have your hands free, Your mind is so quiet, peaceful, because you are like complete. As soon as they put your handcuffs in your hands, then you start want to eat your head or your, something in your back. But I'm sorry, you cannot do this. It's tough. You cannot do this. You cannot go back and eat your back when it's itchy. Can you imagine if your leg is itchy? What are you going to do with this handcuff? You have to go down, pay obeisances. Yeah, we start appreciating things when we don't have them, actually. When we had, actually, before we had, but we didn't appreciate that much. And then when you lose this, or you taken away from that opportunity, then you realize, my God, when I go out, every day I'm going to stand in front of the sun and chant, Om Bhurbhu Vasat Sat Savitur Varinam Bhargo Devasati Mahidiyo Napachodai. Do you think I'm doing that every day? No. I forgot again. When you come out of this situation, you can forget it. This is the problem of the human mentality. And you know how many times I promised myself when I come out of the jail, out of this room, I'm going to really appreciate this time, this sunlight. And every morning in my prayer, I have to say, thanks God for this beautiful, wonderful morning. You think I'm doing that every day? No. You know how many times I've promised that? At least 20 times. Because 20 times they have arrested me before they finally put me in a jail. For book distribution, for book production. It's amazing, people, how things come and go. How you... In one moment, you really appreciate these kantimalas. We have this beautiful kantimala. And then you go to the ocean and take bath, and you're coming out without kantimala. My God, what a loss. You just pay, you know, 50 rupees in Loi Bazaar to get this special, unique kantimala, and then now you don't have it anymore because you took bath. So when we were in a jail, in a cell, we had also some possessions, trust me. But possession was, suppose, a japa beads made out of bread. Because there was nothing else. There is no wood, no stone, nothing you can make beads out of. So what we used to do, we used to save our bread, daily bread, which there was only 3 pieces of bread, black bread, horrible bread that you, when you squeeze hardly, some water will drop from there. It's terrible quality bread. And in order to eat this bread, we used to dry them up, put them on the windows, dry them up for 2-3 days. And the third day, you eat the first day's bread, and then you keep the bread continually, changing the places. So you eat, at least you eat dry bread, which you can really feel that you are eating bread. Otherwise, this wet bread you put in your mouth, you don't want to swallow it. It's not a good quality bread. So what we used to do, dry them up and put some salt, because after some times your tongue was not producing any more water, so you can swallow, actually, because it's dry all day long. That's what you eat, the bread, and not a good quality bread. So what we used to do, we used to do a trick. We used to put some salt on the bread, and then we eat. Then it produces water in your mouth, so then you can swallow it. It's first couple of days is okay, you can still swallow, but when more than 10-15 days, eating such quality bread is terrible. That's why actually the book which is dedicated to whatever my memories I have about Soviet Union, it's called Salted Bread, actually. Because this is what we ate for 2 years, actually, in a jail. 3 slices of bread. And celebrated some birthdays even. We made some cakes out of this bread, put some butter, and if we're lucky, then we get some sugar, we put some sugar on it, and make levels, you know, multi-level black cake. I remember it was my friend Sachisuta's birthday. We made a beautiful cake for him. And anybody eat this cake? They said, my God, we never ate anything like this tasty. And we used to make a bell out of bread. Actually, this bread is an amazing thing. You can make so many nice things. You squeeze, you squeeze in your hand for a couple of days and keep in a plastic bag until it gets stinky. And then you mix a couple of spoon sugar in it and mix it again and keep another 1 week, 3 days. And then you take it out, actually. It's just like a plasticine. You know plasticine? The Play-Doh. So you can make anything you want out of it, and you keep it dry, and it will be as hard as like stone. It's amazing. This sugar and bread, this combination, makes a very, very good substance that you can make anything you want. So what we used to do, we used to bake this bread. We used to make balls, and then make a hole while it's still dry, wet. And then from our socks, we used to take the threads out. You know how we used to do? We used to take a glass, the aluminum cup which used to drink water. We put the sock on top of that. And there is 3 or 4 colors. Everybody takes one color. And then we start taking out all the thread. So once we get the thread, sock thread, then we mix it together. We make a nice kind of a thread, and we put through it, and we make a japa mala, japa beads out of it. It's a wonderful, very, very good quality japa beads, actually. One of the most ecstatic I ever chant on it. First, we didn't have practice. We made 108 out of it. It was a pretty big one. And to hide this, it was very, very difficult. Then we cut it into 54, and you chant 2 times, then you have 108. And then we noticed that it was also very big, and when police they would beat me up with that japa bead, bang, bang, bang. And then you say, oh, it's better 54. 54 was less painful. and then we made 27. And then we used to chant 4 times. And later on we made 9, actually. We used to chant 8 times. And one devotee made a special, I think it was Atmananda, he made a special invention. He had a great idea. He made only 1 beat, japa, and it was on his finger all the time. He used to keep chanting and chanting. When they took us to psychiatric hospital, the first japa beads we made was out of blanket thread. You know, blankets, the long blanket, we took the longest thread exists in the blanket. And it was pretty thick thread. And we used to make knots, 54 knots on this thread. Because in a psychiatric, at least in a jail, you have a spoon, you have a cup, you know. Some possessions, you know, I don't know. I had some picture of Panchatattva and my Guru Maharaj in my pocket, in my cloth, actually. It was right here somewhere, so police didn't find. And those are your possessions. Can you imagine when you lose anything like that? You have nothing, absolutely. Only these few things, and you are so attached to them. And one prisoner, he gets very attached to this Panchatattva picture. He said, and started to chant 16 rounds, actually, the criminal. And he says, can you please give me this picture? Oh, my God. then you realize how much attached you are to this. Although you know it is actually made of paper, it's a material thing, but because you know it's a Panchatattva, it's your Lord, and that's the only thing can remind you about Krishna in this dark, bloody, black sail. Then you become so attached. I'm sure everybody can imagine this, how attached you can be when you have something really has significant meaning And then now somebody's asked, Prabhu, would you give it to me, please? I said, no, I'm not going to give it to you. No, I cannot give it to you. This is the only thing I have. I'm not going to give it to you. And then my friend, Advaita Acharya, from the other cell, he says, Sarva Bhavana, can you imagine what you're going to do? You have Krishna in your heart, you already know, but this person is getting attached, so please give it to him. I said, okay, I'll think about it. And the rest you can read in a book. If you get the book, what an amazing outcome of this picture, where this picture landed actually at the end. So I have only 10 minutes to speak, so I would like to see, we have limitation, everything is limited in this material world. Our life also. We never know when we're going to die. And in a jail, it was very obvious, actually, that one day, sooner or later, you're going to die. If they beat you like that hard, then you're going to die. If they do injections called galapiridol, which is a terrible, terrible, terrible kind of a medicine, when they do this injection to you, actually, what they were trying to do is they're trying to prove that these Hare Krishnas are crazy people, and this mantra can give a lot of damage to the mental, make a mental disorder of people. So what they were doing, when they put us in a psychiatric hospital, they said, oh, now we're going to prove that you are crazy. So they do these injections, and after these injections, sometimes you feel hot, you take out all your clothes, sometimes you feel very cold, you sit and, you know, shake your body, you put some extra clothes on you. Sometimes you want to speak and words are not coming out of your mouth, your chin is like hanging. And in this condition, you have to chant 16 rounds. Never missed. I promise you, all of you, never missed 16 rounds. Even in worst condition, whatever it was, laying down, okay, that's fine. I lay down and chant my rounds, but never missed it. Sometimes when there was nobody asking you questions, you sent 72 rounds, no problem, nothing else to do. Free to do whatever you want to think and the chant, nobody is harassing you. 72 rounds maximum I could ever chant. Never more than 20, 25 rounds usually. That was the limit, because many people ask good questions, so you answer. However, in this 10 minutes, I would like to dedicate this 10 minutes, last 9 minutes already, dedicate to my best friend, Sachisuta Prabhu, who was actually my very, very good friend from my childhood. We grew up together. We went to the school together, and army, Russian army for 2 years. That is mandatory in my country, so we were in army. We joined to the movement together. We have been arrested many, many times together. We had lots of fun. And we have been in a jail together, but then, unfortunately, they have separated us to different jails, and we were about 300-400 kilometers away from each other. Due to a cold weather and torture, basically, he was working outside, and it was very, very cold, and hard work he was doing. So he got tuberculosis, he got some disease, very bad disease. I would say incurable disease in that point already. So they move him to jail hospital. He was a very, very great devotee. Actually, all his life, actually, before even became a devotee, he was a devotee. That's what I feel. He was very, very sweet, very nice person. And fortunately, we got some person who was actually in the same cell where Sachisuta was sitting his last few months. We accidentally, during the Harinam Sankirtan, we met the person and he spoke, he himself, this is not my words, I'm just repeating what he have told about our good friend, about our wonderful devotee, number one book distributor in Soviet Union, early 80s. A very dedicated devotee. And here, actually, in this text, Krishna says, persons who fully surrender at the lotus feet of Supreme Personality of Godhead and always think of his lotus feet are accepted and recognized by the Lord as his own personal assistants and servants. And see, now, for many people, many devotees, neophyte devotees, this might be just a sentence, just a book, or just a knowledge. But I'm sure for experienced devotees who have went through quite a good service attitude, they know how to serve devotees, they know who is devotee actually, what is the actual meaning of devotee. I'm sure they have some experience and they will know that actually Krishna himself, when he promises actually, he's personally coming and taking care of these devotees. And I'm going to tell you an amazing story now and prove actually what my Lord has told in many different occasions. In Bhagavad Gita, he told to Arjuna, I'll take care of that. My devotee will never varnish, whatever. So many, many cases he's telling this. So I will tell about my own, which is also quite significant, because when person speaks something that he has experienced, you feel it. He says, in America, there is a saying, actually, said, do what I say, not what I do. But that's very wrong, actually. So do what I say and do what I do, actually. This is the best one. So Sachisuta Prabhu was very, very sick, and he was in a last stage of tuberculosis when usually you cannot cure this disease. So he have realized that actually he's going to leave his body soon, very soon. It's very close. His call is already there. His Lord is calling him already. So what he have done, he have asked this cellmate who was there, was only one person. He said, can you please shave my head and leave little hair here in the middle? He said, I didn't know what is the meaning of it or whatever, but he was so sick and he was requesting me, so I have done it. Then he took shower in a bathroom, actually, which is very inconvenient, actually, to take a bath there. But he somehow or other, he managed to take a bath with a small cup, you know. He took a shower. And then he took a bed sheet, white bed sheet, and they put it on him as a dhoti, as if he's wearing a dhoti. From the newspapers, he made a beautiful flower garland for himself. From the toothpaste, he put all the tilaks on his body. From the handkerchief, we used to make the japa beads. You know, we used to cut like japa beads and we used to put, stitch it. So he has this bead bag made of handkerchief, and inside was small bead bag, japa beads made of bread, actually. And he sit lotus. That was his favorite asana, actually. Always he used to chant his rounds like that. He used to sit lotus. I cannot sit even lotus myself properly, but he used to sit like that. On his right hand, he has his japa beads. He was chanting the holy names. And on his left hand, he has Panchatattva and Hare Krishna Maharaja's picture. And small picture, very tiny picture on his hand. And here is where we feel actually that Krishna is personally taking care of his pure devotees. Is at that time when he was supposed to leave his body, they took this person who was next to him, together with him in a cell, to give him an injection. Every day they have to give some injection, so it was time to take him injection. So while this person was out from the cell, and a room was locked, there was only two people. I mean, two personalities. Satchisuddha Prabhu and the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. No doubt about it. And while smiling face, sitting lotus and smiling and holding his japa bead and the pictures on his left hand, he left his body. It's like a Paramahamsa stage, you know? It's not an ordinary leaving your body, suffering in a bed, and, you know, doctors are trying to do something to save your material body or something, you know? No, nothing. Very peaceful, very quiet. And when this person coming back to the room, he's sitting in the same position, but he doesn't chant anymore. But because he was smiling, he said, no, everything is okay. So he lay down on his bed, but after some time he says, no, his eyes are open, he's looking up high, and everything is looks like okay, but he's not chanting like usual. So he comes and pushes, hey, Satchisuddha, Sakho, that he's touching his, pushing his arm, and he went inside. And then he started to scream, my goodness. He knocked the door and told the police, hey, come and see what you have done to this good person. He started to cry. And he wrote a letter, actually, which is in this book also. It was short and such a nice letter that I thought this has to be in the book. I have the Russian one, which is written in Russian, so you can read the original. Actually, his handwriting is here. If anybody reads Russian, they can read. And in the back, actually, I have the Russian English translation of the text, the letter actually he wrote to Satchisuddha's parents. Amazing letter. He says, I don't believe, when we spoke to him, actually, he was going into more details. He said, I don't believe any God, but actually way how this person was behaving in the cell, in the jail, in such a heavy circumstances. I don't believe in God, but I would love to leave my body also like your friend left. So it's amazing. He said, he's such a great personality. Every single day, he said, he would sit and chant his rounds up until the last day, when he could hardly walk from his bed to the toilet. Hardly he could walk. He was describing me how painful it was for him. And he said when he was starting to cough, it was going for 10-15 minutes, non-stop coughing, like you will feel that this person is going to die right away. But he said he would never stop preaching to me. Every day he would talk to me at least a couple of hours. And he is telling, not me, all glories to this person. All glories to this devotee who actually proved that when you fully surrender to Krishna, then Krishna himself will take care of you, no matter where you are, no matter in which condition you are. So it has been proven for me I don't know how. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not a good writer at all. But by the Bodhi's request, I have put together this book, which all my memories, everything I could remember. Of course, there is some details that I didn't go too much into details because it's very, very painful, actually. Specifically when they beat you up in such a way that from all your 9 holes are blood coming out, practically speaking, and then you are like a ball. And they want to know, actually, where is the machine, where is the print press, where you are printing these books, how you get these books. And they were telling, actually, do everything. Do anything and everything. Do whatever you want, but don't print these books. That was the KGB's request. I'm serious, it was a request. They requested me many times, actually. They said, please just give up this book distribution, and you are free to do whatever you want. Go to your home, chant, dance, jump up and down as much as you want. Get crazy with chanting this Hare Krishna, but don't give it to others. Never come up. And we said, well, you are just preaching us the opposite what Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya is telling. Sorry, we cannot. Now we are telling we can do anything and everything, but we can never stop this book distribution. That was Srila Prabhupada's desire, and that was my dear Guru Maharaj, Harikesh Maharaj's order. He said, never even think of stopping this book production and distribution. So we try to follow as much as we can. I got one very... I have 6 minutes past. Just one last thing, okay? I'm just going to read one very nice part from the book that it is very essential to me. After 23 years doing some service for Srila Prabhupada, I got only one short letter from my Guru Maharaj, which I want to read to you, which gives so much Shakti to me. At that time, it is written on September 3, 1988. It says, Dear Sarva Bhavana Das, please engage in the process of Krishna consciousness as if they were your last day. In this way, become more and more sincere. Always remember that Krishna is the supreme controller and enjoyer, and serve him with love and devotion. Krishna will always help you if you depend on him. I hope this meets you in good health and a happy serving mood. Your ever well-wisher, Harikesh Swami. And I don't know how much I could surrender to Krishna and how much I can do. Think of that today is my last day. But I would really love to get your blessings that I can continue with my tiny little service to Srila Prabhupada and all the wonderful devotees in our movement. Please bless me that I can also leave my body just like my good friend. And all glories to Sachisuta Prabhu, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, and all glories to Sankirtan devotees. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your time and listening, whatever I was telling. And I hope one day I'll be also able to do something good for this temple. I love this temple. I came several times here and I love this atmosphere. It's just like Vrindavan. I feel like at home in this temple. I don't know. I've traveled many temples. I've been in United States, travel a lot, and have been in many different temples. And in Russia, I travel a lot and been many different temples. In India, I stay in India for about 9 years, 7 years only in Mayapur. So I've traveled a lot. I've been in many temples, but temple where I feel is my home, my heart is there, is Radha Gopinath and all the wonderful devotees around here. All glories to you. All glories to your service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I wish I could answer some questions, but they told me till 9 I am allowed, so it's already 9. If I can take any questions, then I'll take first question, which is I think she is listening to me. She read my book all from cover to cover. She's one of the first to read the book, actually. Her name is Sita Devi. She's from this temple. I don't know. Probably you know all her. She's listening to me. She says she will be listening this class by radio or something, some connection, maybe by internet or whatever. So she had a question. She said, what was your thoughts when you were going through these difficulties in your life in a jail? Can you please share your experiences with me? There is a lot to share with you, Mataji. There is a lot to go. There is a lot I can tell. There is hours and hours I can speak about how these wonderful devotees next to me were suffering and going through the hellish conditions in a jail. But what was my thoughts when I was going through these difficulties? I was always feeling very sorry for these people who were carelessly beating me like hell for chanting the holy name in a cell. In the morning, we had actually very nice Harinam. I used to sit on the window and chant Samsara Dava Nalalida Loka Tranaya Karuna Gananganatam Praptasya Kalya Nagunar Navasya. And all prisoners together will say Vande Guru Sri Charanaravinda. Because we are not going to deal with all these, you know, songs. We don't understand even what is the meaning of it. But this last one is very nice. We will just chant that one. So ladies from upstairs, boys from downstairs, he banging on the aluminum spoons to the aluminum pots. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. So it was very, very nice actually feeling. It was like, ooh. Everybody is chanting Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. And that's about Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And my thoughts was actually to, it was horrible actually. I didn't like to be there. I won't lie to any of you. It wasn't pleasant to be there. But sometimes I enjoy that atmosphere so much that I was thinking, my God, oh Krishna, please make sure I'm always in this condition because I can never forget you. There was no time for thinking about even pain in my body because somebody would sit next to me and ask some questions. What is this Krishna? Why Krishna? And why not Allah or Buddha or Jehovah or Christianity or whatever, but Krishna? So it was just spontaneously knowledge was coming out and I was pouring this knowledge to them. I don't know even where I was getting it from. I didn't read much. Hardly I read, coming back, Ishopanishad, and little bit from Bhagavad Gita when I was arrested. But way how I was speaking, like I was fifth time reading Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, and now I can sit and peacefully, you know, preach to these people. I'm serious about it. I'm not trying to make things sounds better. No, I'm even saying it less because otherwise it will be like I'm glorifying myself, which I don't want to do. So this was my thoughts. But sometimes you really miss being outside, miss being devotees, and missing the prasadam so much. Any other questions? Maybe I could answer, and I don't know how far I could go with the time. Yes, please. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Can you please tell which year you joined the movement? How did you come to Krishna consciousness?
Oh, yeah. It was 82 when I first heard about Krishna and Maha Mantra, actually. I came to know Maha Mantra from a friend who told me, actually, this is very nice mantra. When you are feeling cold, you chant this mantra, you'll get warm. So I was in army, and I happened to be in such a cold place, Ekaterinburg. I don't know if anybody knows. It's old name is Sverdlovsk. The temperature goes up to minus 45, 48. Very cold. So you want it or not, you try everything. So I tried the mantra also. Sometimes maybe it was working. Sometimes no. So I give up chanting because I was not very sure. But when I come back from army, I met my friend we used to take drugs together. He said, "Hey, I have to take you somewhere, very nice people. I met very good people. And I give up taking drugs." I said, "Come on, you are joking. How is that possible? You can give up breathing, but not that. How is that possible?" He said, "No, I really take you to some place that you will also give it up." I said, "I don't want to go anywhere like that." He said, "No, please, you have to come. Devotees are waiting for you already. I told about you, and they are waiting for you. Please, let's go." So I said, "Okay, let's go. I'll try. I'll give a try." So I was totally intoxicated when I entered to the temple, first time. And I remember about 25, 30 devotees sitting and banging whatever they could, whatever makes sounds, because no harmonium, no karatals. So sometimes we used to just bang like some cup, glass or whatever to make sound, just chant the holy name. But this was ecstatic kirtan, actually. One of the most ecstatic kirtan ever I have experienced. And somehow or other, when they invited me to the temple room, I started to chant with them together like I was 50 years already doing this. It was so natural. I see they're chanting. So I started chant also. And then at the end, they were paying their obeisances. First time ever, I pay my obeisances also very naturally, without any. But I had a hard time, actually, giving up drugs. And I was distributing books while intoxicated and coming and washing my hands, mouth and everything, so devotees will not know. Some devotees know already, I was telling them. They said, "Please just make sure you don't bring anything inside the temple, because KGB is coming time to time. And if they find out we have drugs also, then we are in big trouble." I said, "Okay, I'm not going to, at least that much. I'm not going to do it." Yeah. They had a hard time preaching me also, actually. Everything else was okay, chanting the 16 rounds, taking cold shower in the morning. You know, there was hot and cold taps, you know, when you open hot water. Usually left is hot, right is cold. On the left one, you know what was written? Maya. Hot water. Hot water at that time was considered to be Maya. You have to take shower with cold, ice cold actually water. And then you are a devotee. You are a strong devotee, actually. So when I entered the devotees, it was Gaur Purnim, actually. I first ever met devotees in Gaur Purnim. And they were fasting, so I was fasting. No problem with that, at least. And I remember they took me to Sannyasa Das, who is actually considered to be one of our leader and the most advanced devotee there. He was a little sick. He was laying down, I remember. But he was preaching me so heavy. Heavy, very heavy. Like he was trying to go through the concrete wall, you know, like. And he was telling me all kinds of things, arguments and facts and everything. I said, "Oh, you don't have to preach to me. I accept everything what you say is absolutely okay. I agree with that. And the way you are describing, actually, you said, how we can say that what is the taste of the fruit without actually eating it?" He brought me that, actually. I didn't. And He said, this is what Srila Prabhupada also says, that unless you test the fruit, you don't know what is the test. How is test? So he was telling me, you have to be here in this temple, stay here 2-3 days with us, chant the holy names, eat prasadam as much as you want, practice with us, and then you will feel the difference. I said, no problem, I'll stay here. But I have something also for you. He said, what's that? I said, I have something to offer you also, which is also very, very powerful and practical. And as you are telling me that I have to test the fruit and then tell what is the, how is it test, so I have something also for you. So you accept mine, I accept yours. He said, what is that? I said, you know, Prabhu, when you take hashish, marijuana, and then you sit lotus and then you chant the holy name, it multiplies 10,000 times. I said, what? You said, no, no. What means no? You never tested it, my dear. What you are offering me, I'm about to test it. And I'll show you, actually, I'm testing it. But you guys boldly just telling that this is bad. This is created by Lord Krishna. This green plant. Instead of worshipping Tulasi, we used to worship this plant. So now we can worship two plants instead of one. What's the problem? They said, man, don't speak this philosophy anymore in this temple. I said, okay, no problem. You don't want, I don't speak. But you remember, I stay here and tried. But you never tried. Actually, devotees, I don't know if anybody minds or not. Please forgive me. But this is a true thing, actually. What I experienced in 23 years practicing Krishna consciousness. Devotees are the most amazing people in this world. Devotees are most amazing speculants in this world. Anything they want, actually. Anything. You want to make a marble altar in your house? That's fine. You will find a way how to support your philosophy that altar has to be only made of marble, no wood, no fiberglass, because it's a low-class thing, material, chemicals. No, it has to be marble. They will prove. They will find from Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, everywhere prove that this is the right thing what I'm doing. Okay? Now, you want to put 35 different stickers in your car windshield while you are driving, which is actually quite disturbing to me. I don't know. When I'm driving, my windshield has to be very clean. I don't like all the stickers there. And I told some devotees also, they're driving like this, actually. They're making them to see. Why? He said, Prabhu, when I'm driving, I can see the Lord. I said, no, that's fine, but you have to see the road. Also. What do you think? I could convince? No. The max, he will say, both together. I see the road and I see the Lord also. That was max I got from one devotee. Rest, they rejected. They rather driving like this, but not taking out that sticker from there. Anything I want to do. I want to finish my rounds before 7 o'clock. I can prove, I can convince each and every devotee that this is what Prabhupada wants us to do. And if some devotee wants to eat good prasadam, He will convince all the devotees that he has some health problem. He has to eat special prasadam, good prasadam. And that's for sure. He wants to wear a dhoti, that's fine. Anybody wants to ask, why do I don't have a kantimala? I can convince everybody have to wear like this, something like this. One round only instead of three or four. Instead of big beads, you have to have small beads. Because I'm living in Armenia. In Armenia, if you have anything like this, in this demoniac country, people will start teasing. Why do I don't have a shika? I'm not going to tell you. Everybody knows. But again, if I want to wear a shika, I used to wear. I was number one who actually had shika in Armenia. And I was very odd, actually. When I walk on the street, everybody would look at me, my goodness, like I was a monkey in a cage. And everybody is doing, what the hell is this? They never seen anything like that. And devotees was telling me, Sarva Bhavana, maybe you should not do this. What do you think? They convinced me? Never. I convinced them, and a couple of them, they start having shika also. And now, when I don't have a shika, I can convince 50 people that we don't have to have shikas. So we are expert. Devotees are supernatural expert of proving that their rights, no matter what they do. You want me to tell you even the worst thing? They can do something awful even and prove that actually they were doing true. Because in Srimad and Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, no matter what they do, my devotees always, you know, remains there. Hare Krishna Jai, Shri Shri Radha Gobinaji Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Any more questions? But that is actually the gloriousness. That is actually the most power of the devotees. Yes, you wanted to say something. Sorry? Oh, okay. I'm very sorry then. Then all glories to Sankirtan devotees. Thank you very much for hearing me. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki. Harinam Sankirtan Yagya ki. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. So also at the end, I would like to say that we have some books also available here in my room or somewhere here also. Anybody wants, we can have them. Jaya Srila Prabhupada.